Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road, Minnesota's premier and only off-road podcast, brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Hey gang, welcome back to the Crossroad Off-Road podcast. Today we're going to go deep into the Bronco and talk about why Jeep guys should probably really like the fact that the Bronco came out. I know some Jeep guys are like, you know, I'm all about my Jeep and just about my Jeep. My Jeep is, you know, there's no replacement for it. Bronco is nothing. It's not going to be a big deal. But I got news for you. It is a big deal, and here's why I think you should appreciate the fact that the Bronco came out, and that's competition. Rising tides raises all boats is a phrase. I don't know who made it up, but it's a phrase about competition. If you have competition, you will get better. So now that we have a good competitor to the Jeep will improve. And some Jeep guys might go to a Bronco. Some people who never thought about buying a brand new vehicle might go to a Bronco. So we don't know how it's going to go, but nobody's really driven one yet, but on paper, it looks pretty good. So the competition piece is going to be huge. You know, Jeep kind of held its own for, since even before the 90s. I mean, the full-size Bronco wasn't a real competitor to it, but it just had its own niche since then. You know, taking the top down, doors off, four-wheel drive, go-anywhere type of vehicle, and the size it was, there was really nothing else out there like it. The four-door Bronco in the 90s, the OJ style Bronco. A couple of my buddies in high school had them. And they, you know, that style bowed out about the time the four-door Tahoe came out. I remember the four-door, two-door Tahoe was out, you know, direct competitor with the Bronco, so you couldn't take the top off. But as soon as that four-door came out, it seems like everybody looked, there was a Tahoe. My brother actually has a 1999 Tahoe that his kids drive still. And he bought it in like 2000, 2001. I can't remember when he bought it, but he's had it forever. So they kind of cannibalized the sales, I think, of Bronco, and maybe people really wanted to have that next door. But like I said, Jeep hasn't had a competitor until now. So the top-down, doors-off, go-anywhere type of a vehicle that Jeep is now has a competitor in there. And so what I thought was interesting, I watched the premiere many times. I listened to many different takes on it. So what I'm telling you today is somewhat you might have heard already if you've been kind of bouncing around, but my first take on it is that this is a really good thing for Jeep. So why do I say that? Well, first off, Ford really gets into their class-leading idea. They want to be class-leading in everything they do. So you have the new little Bronco with its measurables, and you can look them up and kind of see, but some of the things that they, you know, beat Jeep out on is like by 0.2 of an inch, you know, if it's whatever, ground clearance or what have you. But sometimes it's 2+ inches, or it's a big difference in terms of what their measurables are. Between approach, departure angle, you know, breakover, all that stuff, you can look it all up and see on there. But Ford is bigger than the class lead, so Jeep will answer to all that. If you remember, the JL has 33s, 32 and a half, 33s stock, but you can't have a 35 on there without a lift. So you're probably going to see 35s from the factory before the Bronco even comes out. You'll see 35s from the factory from Jeep. And that's because I listen to so many things, and some of these insiders, they were kind of letting some things out today that they knew. And so that's probably going to happen. So some of those measurables might change on those approach departure angles, especially if you can get a 35. Because one of the packages that the Bronco has, a Sasquatch package, which I think is great, has 35s from the factory. So, and that's where they're getting a lot of their lead or class leading type of things is those little, like, hey, if you have a Sasquatch package, the 35s and a two-door, here's all the, you know, things that they're best at. So take that with a little bit of a grain of salt that, you know, you have to have the top of the line package. And so that's going to push Jeep towards having that from the factory. Another thing is, let's talk about the Sasquatch package. I mean, it's a pretty cool thing. Front rear lockers, the big tires, the beadlock style wheels. I don't know if they're true beadlocks. I think they can be, but obviously you can't have them set up like that on the street. It's illegal in a lot of states, I believe. But in the end, Jeep's going to have to respond to that. So you can get that Sasquatch package on any trim line. I mean, there's five different trim lines. You can look them online and see the difference. You know, all it means is just, you know, bigger screen in the inside and so on, and a few other features. But one of the big things with the Sasquatch package, if you're an off-roader, you really want to have, you know, if you have locking diffs, that's great, and a disconnectable sway bar, that's great. That's what you have. And so this package, you can get that in a base model. So you can buy a $28,000 Bronco with a Sasquatch package added in, and you could be sitting at, you know, maybe 34, I bet you closer to 36 and a half, with a baseline Jeep Bronco, keep saying Jeep, baseline Bronco, but you have front and rear diffs, diff locks, a sway bar disconnect, and the 35 inch tires. So you're coming out of the factory kind of ready to go, but you probably have to special order that, because a lot of dealerships, like, as I was listening to one podcast, and they're talking about it, like, most American buyers don't order their Jeep or order their vehicle or their Bronco. They just go to the dealership and they see one they like and they buy it. But these guys on this podcast were really encouraging people, if you're going to go new, go in and click exactly what you want. That way you get it. And then just wait the 2-3 weeks or months, whatever it takes to get your vehicle. So that's what you can do to save a few bucks if you don't want to have all the other stuff. I mean, part of it too with a vehicles like this, you, when you switch packages, like the base model Jeep costs $28,000, you know. Then if you go to the top of the line, all those features together probably don't equal that price, but it gives you a premium. So if you buy a more premium vehicle, it's just better overhead for those buyers or for the seller. So that's another reason why they have all these different trim lines. It's not too much more expensive to put it in, but for the company, but you know, they can charge way more for it. So take a look at that. That was like the big thing. So look for the Rubicon Light package that's going to come out. And listen to some of these insider things you can say. They weren't saying it, but there's definitely going to be a Rubicon Light or a trim that you can get on any model. So it won't be $43,000 or $40,000. It might be $35,000, $36,000 for a two-door type of model for a Rubicon. So like I said, why would a Jeep guy be excited about a Bronco coming out? If you're gonna stay with Jeep, but you wanna buy another Jeep, well, here's why. All those things are gonna kind of bring different models, and like I said, competition's good. Next thing, the motors. Here's another thing I thought was real funny. When I was clicked the anything I pulled up on Jeep or on Bronco, you know, I would be reading a Bronco, then there'd be a Jeep ad, and a little further down there'd be another Jeep ad. If I watched it, gonna watch a YouTube video about Bronco, every ad was about a Jeep. So they spent a lot of money to try to, you know, nuzzle themselves into this whole thing on Monday. And the biggest thing they did was the 392 concept. And I remember some people saying, oh, they'll never build it. What the 392 concept is, they stuffed the V8 in a Wrangler. And they've done it before for their, what do you call those things? Easter Jeep Safaris. And they put different motors in. Even said they had a two-door with a Hellcat motor in it, which was just ridiculous, with a stick shift, kind of what everybody wants, but kind of hard to get that. So it's probably only one made like that from the factory, obviously, or kind of factory-ish. But they do have the 392. It's an automatic. It's all-wheel drive in 0 to 60 in under 5 seconds. That's what the 392 package is. And I've driven a V8 swapped Wrangler. And I tell you what, it was powerful. It was something else. It was re-geared and everything. And the owner of the vehicle, he goes to me, he goes, get on it. You can get on a little bit. And so I punched it for like a couple seconds. And we were flying. And I've driven Porsches and I've driven Mustangs and been in Corvettes. But this thing had some power. And he kept on telling me to get on it. I said, I'm going 70 to 30. I think I better not get on it anymore. So it was an amazing vehicle. So that one was 528 horsepower, but these are 450 on the horse, these 392s, and 450 in a torque. And with the all-speed, all-wheel drive transfer case, I'm pretty sure they'll have the low range and all that stuff, but I think they're really taken from the Trackhawk, Jeep Grand Cherokees, so they can kind of slide those in easy enough. So this would be direct from the factory. And the podcast I was listening to said, yes, these are going to production, is what they had said. You know, and this is Johnny Lieberman was talking about this on a Truck Show podcast. So if you guys want to listen to something that's pretty detailed, they go into this pretty hardcore on their bonus episode this week. And I was just listening to it today going, like, I can't believe they're actually going to put it in there. You know, reasons why they didn't before is they didn't have to. They didn't have to do anything. They had the market share. Everybody was buying a Jeep the way it was. You know, all that retooling cost, they didn't have to incur because there was no competition. So, but they've been sitting on this for quite a long time. And now that they're got a little competition, they jumped out and says, hey, we're doing it. So look for that over the next, before the Bronco comes out, look for those 392 concepts to come out. And I'm excited to see kind of what that might look like, and if they're going to be like a limited production of like 4,000 of them or something like that, or are they going to say, you know, buy you want, buy all you want. They kind of did that with the Challenger Charger type of thing. They put a Hellcat motor in there, and they thought they would just sell a few, and here 25% of them that they sell are the 700 horsepower variety. So they're just ridiculous. You know, an FCA has, they got some powerful motors. I mean, unless you've been living under a rock, you know, you got the Wildcat, or Hellcat, then the Demon, and then they have all the track packs, Scat Pack, all that stuff is, you know, their Hemi V8 is just, you know, pretty powerful, and they can have different iterations of it. If you want to see something real fun, look it up, their Elephant motor, the Hellephant, I think they call it, 1,000 horsepower crate motor. I think you can't even put it in a newer vehicle. They specify, probably for legal reasons, and, you know, that you have to have it in a 1979 or older vehicle. But check it out. It's kind of ridiculous. If you watch Graveyard Cars, they put one in a vehicle, I believe. So they have motors. So Jeep, I think, will respond even more than just talking about their 392 package or 392 concept. I believe that they're going to have the Pentastar V6 is going to go away by about 2022. And if not earlier, I think they're, you know, this is me speculating. So again, I'm an enthusiast, not an expert. But the way the guys were talking this morning, just listen to them, they're like really downplaying the 3.6, even though it's been a great motor for a lot of people. But anything under 300 foot pounds of torque, I think, is going to be left in the dust pretty soon. I think that one is like 260. I think it's 270 horse and 260 torque. I'm not sure the exact number, but I think that'll go away, and you'll have something else into there in that spot. They'll still have their 2-liter turbo that a lot of people like, but I think there's going to be some sort of V6 with a little bit more power, a little more torque. Look, you know, I don't know if I can go because Ford has their V6 to 2.7, 310 horsepower, 400 foot-pounds of torque, and the 4-cylinder to 2.3. I talked about that last week. I thought that would be the main engine they'd be going with, and it sounds like that might be the engine that's going to be in the most vehicles and the one they're going to sell the most. But that one is 270 horse, 310 foot-pounds of torque. So, you know, they got some good torque and power numbers, and they're both turboed. The twin turbo and the V6 is definitely the powerhouse of the two, but you can only get that in automatic. So the manual, and listen to the different enthusiasts or the expert podcasts, you know, almost all of them want the stick shift, the 7-speed. We'll talk about that in a second, with the 4-cylinder. It's like if they got any one, it would be the 2-door. I'm going to talk about that too, with the stick shift and the 4-cylinder, which would be their choice. They would get the, you know, a more of a base model with the Sasquatch package. So it's funny, but I that's kind of one I would go lean towards because I really like the stick shift. Now, their stick shift, if you watch the video, they have a 7-speed. So the regular 6-speed is there, which will be for your highway driving and off-roading. But if you want to crawl, they have a C gear. This is C. That's crawl, super low geared. Lowest on the market, basically, with that setup. So I was amazed. Not amazed by that, but I thought that was a pretty cool granny gear deal. So I think that helps them get away with just having one transfer case instead of having a separate transfer case. And so that helps with cost. So we have to develop one thing. So that's interesting. The other thing I thought is every part of the ad that you watched was almost, if you had a timer and timed how much they had the 2-door on compared to the 4-door, and we're not going to talk about the Bronco Sport. That's not going to be something that's going to be in my garage. But those, the 2 and 4-door, it was like, I would say 75% of the time that 2-door was the one they're featuring. Now we know that Jeep sells a lot of Jeeps, but 75% of them are four doors. So I wonder if Ford is going after that two-door market and they really wanted to get that two-door thing going. I think it's a little bit bigger inside than a JK two or JL two-door. I keep saying JK. And so that could be a reason that they think, well, let's go after that market. That market's sitting wide open. And they really developed that stick shift. I mean, and I haven't driven a JL stick shift. I'm sure it's awesome. But they're going after that market. And everybody that talks says they really want to have that stick shift, the four-cylinder, in a two-door, which really surprised me, like I said. And 90% of vehicles sold for Jeeps and Wranglers are automatics. Like I said, 75% are four doors. And so everything I've read, everything I looked at has really been talking about that two door with the stick. So I'm kind of intrigued about that. So take a look at some of those packages. They're pretty interesting. I think the 8 is a small screen. I mean, in my pickup, I got a 2016 GMC, an 8-inch screen in there. And I thought that was just huge when I got it. And now, if you don't have a 12-inch screen, it's like, why have a screen? It's amazing to me that you need to have a 12-inch screen in there. But they have that in the Bronco. So, and they have your off-road pages and everything on there, too. So that's kind of par for course now to have that. So different packages will have those. So you can kind of look at those, the different packages that are online and watching. The different YouTube channels, but it makes a decision which one would be for you. But I just think that any one of them would be just fine for a lot of people. But I think the two-door, just watch the video again and see how often they show the two-door compared to anything else. So I don't know, maybe they're really trying to sell that feature. But so the competition is good, and for Jeep, I do like it a lot. But the Jeep sold about 230,000. They sold 240 in 18 and 228 in 2019. So they can build and sell a lot of these. And the Broncos have pre-sold. I think they sold 50,000 the first day. But it sounds like they're nowhere near the capacity to build that many in a year. So look for them to sell less than 100,000 their first year, mainly because they're not spooled up to build that many. But they do make the Ford F-150 and the F-Series, and they sell about 850,000 of those a year. Obviously, they're making tons of money on those, and that's their bread and butter. But I wouldn't doubt if they have a high enough demand if they kind of find a different way to build more. But they're not going to sell more in Jeep, I don't think, anytime soon. Jeep is still king, and it will be, but I think that the Bronco, it's a nice looking unit. And that's the other thing, looks, I want to talk about. And this is one of the, I've got my notes here, and going to talk about some how well Ford does on retro vehicles. The first one they really did that was a retro, that kind of a throwback of the recent age, was the Ford T-Bird. They came out with that, I don't know, 15 years ago. Had a little V8 in it, 252 horsepower. I don't know why I remember that number, but I think that's the horsepower rating. So they kind of dipped their feet in it. It looked okay, but didn't quite. Obviously, they only made it for a handful of years. And that's kind of what they've been doing for these retro vehicles lately, for some of them. So the T-Bird kind of came and went, and really didn't light any big fires. Wasn't a big deal. But when they came out with the Ford GT in the early 2000s, people went nuts. They liked that vehicle. And if you bought a Ford GT of that era and held on to it, didn't do a thing to it for like 2 years, you could sell it for a profit. And then that second person who bought it for more than the first guy and drove it, he could turn around and sell it for a profit again. I mean, it keeps accumulating value. It keeps appreciating in value. So it's a good car to own because it's not going to go down in value. We always talk about our Wranglers and how they hold their value. Well, these things go up in value. So, and the same thing with the next Ford GT that came out just a few years ago. Another great supercar. Built it for, they said they're going to build a certain amount. A few thousand of them they're going to build. But then it sold so well, so they built a few more. Sold really well. So I think Ford did a really good job on those retro vehicles that they had years ago and let lapse for a while, much like the Bronco, then brought them back. I think the Bronco is going to be here to stay. I don't think it's going to be like a 3-year run and they'll be done with it. I think they have too much invested in it, but I thought that before with the Ford GT. But in the end, though, Ford does a good job of, you know, bringing back the retro look. They do a really good job with it. And the prime example is the Mustang. A few years ago, they were kind of getting away from what, you know, didn't look that cool. Then all of a sudden, they went to this retro look, and man, it looks cool again. I like the Mustangs again, how they look, how they sound, and they're doing a good job with those. So they did. I think the outside, I think they did a really good job of how it looks. I'm excited to see them on the street. I think when you see them on the street, they're gonna look, you know, they're gonna be bigger than you think they are, type of thing. They're gonna be I think when people think about Bronco, think about how small those late 60s, early 70s models were before they went full size. But I think they're a little bit bigger than you think. I saw a picture of somebody sitting in it and like, wow, that thing is massive around them. So it's interesting to kind of speculate, but I can't wait to see one in person. One thing I forgot, they do have a cool sway bar disconnect. Even though it's an independent front suspension, they have a pretty cool sway bar disconnect, the front and rear lockers. And I speculated last week that they had this turn control feature where it would break the inside tire, and you could basically, when you're making a tight turn, it would break the rear inside tire a little bit. And they have that. So somebody else speculated, and I thought that was pretty cool. So we'd love to see that in person, how that works and how it works in a vehicle. Like I said, I did it in a tractor all the time as a kid. When you're out cultivating corn, that's what you got to do. So it's interesting to see that in a vehicle now. So again, all these things I keep talking about that are cool, like one-off features or the motors and the specs, look for Jeep to answer. Jeep usually comes at a simple task with a hammer and just hammer it down. They do pretty good at answering the call, and I think they kind of held on to their ace in the hole here with the 392. I think they held on to that pretty well until right at the end here. So that was a pretty cool feature. I'd love to talk to somebody who is going to buy one. So if you guys are out there and you're listening, you're like, man, you know, I think I'm going to pick one up, or I have a friend who, you know, pre-ordered. You can pre-order one of these for $100. So if you're out there and, you know, you want to pre-order one, I watched a guy, oh gosh, he's big into diesel trucks. He has a YouTube show and he's got a gazillion followers. You know, he went, as soon as it came out, he watched the thing. While he's watching, he's trying to order it online. And he tries like 8, 10, 20 times. Finally, he gets through, puts his $100 down. And then he turns around and does it again. He ordered two of them. So, but it was one of those things, like $100, I'm sure it's refundable if you don't actually do it. But I want to talk to somebody who ordered one, you know, kind of what they thought about it, what they want, what package they got and why, type of thing. So if you're out there listening to this or you know somebody, hey, contact me through Facebook. I'd kind of love to hear what, you know, the enthusiasts out there might want to say. And I kind of posted on Facebook also and said, hey, what do you guys think about this deal? So I'm going to go ahead and pull some of those pieces up and see what people had to say. So, yeah. Some people, my first thing was like shots fired. I was like, boy, you know, Jeep was back and forth on every ad I saw, and like they're all over it. And, you know, Billy says he likes it. Interested to see how the sway bar, the independent front suspension is going to work. In seven, you know, 35s of the 7-speed is, you know, kind of up on his what he's thinking too. I think that I want to see before we, you know, kind of say independent front suspension is terrible off-road. Well, let's see how it works. None of us have driven one of these yet or even seen it on the trail, so I'd love to see how it works. Scott, he's even saying it's pretty cool. Again, to worry about the IFS is a little more of a sometimes on-road, but we'll see how it does off-road type of deal. Some people like says it's still a Ford. This is my brother-in-law. He says it's still a Ford. I said, exactly. I mean, they sell a gazillion Ford F-150s, you know, so we'll see how this one works. If people like the twin the 35s with lockers, a twin turbo, looks awesome. You know, Terry, he's like, time will tell. Everybody's a little hesitant a little bit, but, you know, it's not going to replace my Jeep. My Jeep, I'm keeping. But love to see one on the road and see what it looks like. I think when I first saw Gladiator, I was like, I thought it was pretty cool. I still think it's cool. Then I saw one in person. I couldn't believe how small it was compared to what I thought it was in my head. And seeing it online, I thought it looked huge online. And then I go see it on the street. I'm like, well, it's tiny. It's a little thing. I'm so used to my, three-quarter, or not three-quarter ton, half-ton pickup. And I drove next to one of those Gladiators. And I go, I could do all the stuff I want to do in that, without making some exceptions. So keep on using my GMC for a while. But I can't wait to see one in person. It's so exciting to have a brand new from scratch vehicle. So it's not like they had one last year, and this is just like the new updated version. This is like, well, they haven't had it since the 90s. It's been gone for, a whole generation, 25 years. So I'm excited to see one in person to really kind of, see what it looks like. But I do like the grill, the whole front end. There's plenty of videos out there for you guys to kind of watch and see. They'll break it all down, kind of the paying homage to why they did what they did and so on. But I'm excited to see what it looks like. So, well, that's my thoughts on it. I'm excited to see what Jeep answers to. Like I said, the 392 concept, yeah, that's going to happen. But watch for that Pentastar replacement. That thing has been around since 2012, if not older. It's been in the Wrangler since 2012. It hasn't been a bad engine, but I think that time has, 8, 9 years. I think that's time for a update to the motor. We'll see what that will be. Will it be a bigger four cylinder with a turbo? Will it be a turbo V6? Will it be just a bigger V6? I don't think they're going to have a bulk of their motors sent out as V8s. I don't think that'll happen, but they're going to have just some small package run, I think, that each year. I'm interested to see kind of what they do around that. Also, the Rubicon Lite, if they're going to have something where they have, if they call it a Willys package and they have lockers in it, type of deal. Or because that's what they thought the Willys package, Willys, either one, Willys package, what it was a Rubicon Lite. That's what one guy who had one told me that's what he thought it was. And that was his comments on it, not mine. But I'm interested to see if Jeep does that. I got a little note here on competition. Jeep has become one of those words in Jeep trails, kind of like Kleenex. It's got bathroom tissue, and there's different brands where everybody just calls them Kleenex. That's what a Jeep can do because it's a Jeep trail. Every time I type in the address on my phone for stuff, and I kind of where I different places I go, I always make it a contact and put in Jeep Trail. I don't put in off-road trail, or I put Jeep Trail Red Wing or Jeep Trail here. That way I just know where it's at. It's easy to find next time I punch it up. So I think Jeep Trail, like I go mountain biking in River Falls, Wisconsin on their mountain bike trail. They have a steep hill. It's called the Jeep Trail. It's kind of funny, but they own that. They have people's respect for that where they have that wordage kind of built that into their vernacular. So I'm excited to see Bronco kind of push this envelope a little bit of Jeep. And I don't know, maybe they'll sell, maybe they'll, sell a quarter of what Jeep sells. We'll see. I guess time will tell. So, well, thanks for listening to my ramblings on. Go ahead and look at them online. I was right on a kind of couple things about the 2.3 and a 2.7. Can't believe that. I thought they would just go with one motor, but we'll see. Hopefully, maybe they'll get the manual and the 2.7. Then I think more people will buy that. But yeah, so I think this is their new. I think the two-door, kind of summary is I think their new halo car. They really want to push that. I think that's their big thing. You can see it from the ad. You watch that ad, and like, boy, they're really pushing that halo, that two-door a lot. So I'm excited to see it happen. So, but thanks for listening, guys, and we'll touch base with you guys next week.
Hey gang, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Go online and check them out.